I call the Agriculture, Broadband, and Rural Development Finance Omnibus Conference Committee meeting to order on May 6, 2023. There is a quorum present. First, I just want to thank members and staff and members of the public for putting your Saturday on hold to be here with us today to review and adopt the Agriculture Budget Bill and its provisions. First, I want to give an incredible thanks to our staff for your expertise, your time, and your generosity, because every time we as members, every decision we make, you all do twice the work. So thank you so much for all that you do. And we're very grateful for that. Chair Putnam and I walked into a conference with a collaborative spirit and with care, great care on addressing the needs and bringing a sustainable agriculture community. There are many issues that the House and Senate are aligned on, and Chair Putnam and I were able to find agreement on a big ticket item, which is the one-time $10 million for grain indemnity fund to provide a safety net for grain producers should there be an unfortunate event for grain elevator failure. I'm happy that this fund will be a legacy of this year's agriculture budget bill. I'm also excited to see that we're making historic investments in emerging farmers than I have ever seen before my time here on committee 4 years ago. We expanded the emerging farmers office three times and added resources to help emerging farmers get into and stay on the farm. We also made strong investments in helping farmers take care of the land, from soil health to investments in cover crops, to looking at pollinators, and just as importantly, maintaining the department and the state agencies under our jurisdiction to be able to provide quality services to farmers and the community by adding staff for support to support our international trade markets, process affordable loans quicker from the Rural Finance Authority, support market access in meat processing and farm to school, and bringing in more resources for farmers to be more climate resilient. And I think we have a strong, well-rounded budget that encapsulates a growing agriculture community. And with that, I'll end my remarks, and I'll defer to Chair Putnam to see if you have any opening remarks for today's conference.
Well, thank you, Chair Vang, and thanks all of you for being here today. And throughout the entire session, we see a lot of familiar faces around the table, and these are people who have been dedicated to Minnesota's agricultural economy and community for the past couple months. So it's great to see you, and we've benefited from your help, not just in the past couple weeks, but throughout the entire session. This bill is a product of collaborative labor for 4 months, and I want to express my particular gratitude in the conference committee context to all the staff who have helped so much, but also to Chair Vang for entering into these conversations with a spirit of collaboration and a dedication to solving problems. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think that all politicians can learn from farmers, from folks who are involved in agriculture. When you focus on solving problems and not on defending your ego, when you focus on doing your job and not on posing as a partisan or for a podcast, you actually can get good stuff done. And this bill, I think, represents that good work. From my perspective, it's a bill that respects the complexity of Minnesota's contemporary agricultural economy and the communities that depend on it. It respects past traditions of Minnesota's agricultural economy and ecology while preparing us for an unknown future, one that has to be sustainable and inclusive. And I think that this bill accomplishes those goals. It is a bill that's full of all kinds of complexities and internal contradictions and paradoxes, but we worked those out with the help of staff and stakeholders, and I do believe that this final bill is a very strong bill, one that prepares us for a stronger future. In particular, I think that this bill has provisions that deal with the two things I heard most of when I was talking to farmers, and that's the need for greater stability and for a brighter future. So when you think about stability, we did things like the grain indemnity and like the dairy fund, things that will make it easier for farmers to plan and to remain successful and to protect those smaller farms. We also dealt with innovation in a sustainable and thoughtful way by supporting things like Forever Green, the continuous living cover. And I'm grateful that we worked together on those things for those imperatives for the future of Minnesota agriculture. And I think we did a pretty good job.
And next, I'll invite the Commissioner of Ag to give a couple of opening remarks.
Thank Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, committee members, Tom Peterson, Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I just want to, again, just echo the chairs and really thank the partnership that we've had this whole session. And then in the past week or so, as we've been negotiating our bill, I'm really excited about a lot of the provisions and where we landed. And, you know, it's never easy. I've been able to do this quite a few times, but I really just appreciate everybody digging in and really working, especially the staffs of the nonpartisan staff, the party staff, our staff, just tremendous work. There's a lot of pieces in here. You know, this is a, you know, we talked a lot about the target, but it's a big increase in dollars for our agency when you look at our overall general fund. And one of the things, you know, the main priority, as I see it, as Chair Banks said, to set the budget for the department for the 24-25 year and into the tails, and to, you know, help us sleep better, help us plan, help us think of all the things that we can do. And so to that end, too, I really appreciate the work on whether it's Frank Mighty's, Senator Putnam, or things that help our agency run better. And so I appreciate the trust and the partnership that we have in working with that. And also to that end, you know, the big piece in this really with the tails, like, I really appreciate our staff does the work that we did on our agri. Agri is something, whether it was ethanol producer payments or this, has been around for a long time. And our committee, the committees and the administration were presented with a challenge with the sunset, and we worked really hard to address that. And all of agriculture benefits from agri. And so I really appreciate the work that's gone into that. And then finally, that this represents the governor's priorities. You know, and working with the administration, whether it's meat processing, of course, the indemnity fund, soil health, our emerging farmers, and then last but not least, the ag emergency account, which is always very important as we stare down different things. So thank you, and I look forward to putting this bill to work for all of Minnesota.
Thank you, Commissioner, for all the work that you've done to help us during this process. Next, we'll move to the budget. Looking at the spreadsheet, I believe nonpartisan staff will help with this. So we are first on the recommended budget items on the spreadsheet document titled Agriculture Finance Change Items, Senate File 1955, Conference Committee Agreement dated May 4th, 2023 at 5:13 p.m., pages 1 through 5 be included in the Conference Committee report. These are agreed upon by the House Senate. Nonpartisan staff, if you guys can do a walkthrough of the document.
Thank you, Chair Varin, Chair Vang, and members. For the tape, Ken Savory, nonpartisan House fiscal staff. Mr. Olofsson and I will be splitting up the spreadsheet about midway through. I'll transition to Mr. Olofsson to cover the rest. The columns we'll be talking about this afternoon will be columns double Y and double Z on the right-hand side of the document. It's organized by division, so the first division of MDA being Protection Services. We'll start there. Line 8 is the department's operating increase for maintaining current service levels. This will be divided in the conference committee report between the various components of MDA. So for FY24-25, that would be $7 million, and FY26-27 is $7 million. I would note that the increase in 24-25 is loaded to the front of the 24 biennium in FY24. Line 9 is a reduction to protection services for the food licensing and modernization, which is a dedication of inspection fees that are paid for those various components. This is slightly different than what both bodies came into for conference committee, being the main difference in FY24, that reduction is carried at $3.827 million, and then every year thereafter. A different item on that note is line 10, which is the transfer to the food licensing and modernization account. This is a transfer of $1,941,000. Line 11 is the meat processing liaison. That is $150,000 each biennium. Line 12 is the grain indemnity fund transfer of $10 million, only occurring in the first year. Line 13 is the soil health equipment grants. It's $1,250,000 in the first biennium, and then slightly larger, $1,278,000 in the tails. Line 14 Our grants for noxious weed control being $300,000 one time in FY24-25. Line 15 is the pollinator research account. That is an $800,000 transfer to that account in FY24-25. All of that occurring in the first year, so no transfer would occur in FY25, but it does establish a reoccurring transfer of $100,000 in each fiscal year in the tails. Line 16 is the Forever Green, and this the conference have agreed to move that to a GREET. So you'll see a reduction of the base of Forever Green, which is $630,000 each fiscal year, and then that will occur in the GREET section later on in the spreadsheet. Going down to line 18 is an appropriation for Living Green cover crop grants. That is $500,000 occurring one time in 24-25. Line 21 is the PFAS pesticide report and regulatory outline. That is $250,000 in FY24-25. Line 23 is an increase to a carve-out that occurs within the rider language of the elk crop damage producer grants. It's a $20,000 increase for that particular carve-out, so it'll show up in the conference report as $40,000 each fiscal year for that purpose. Line 26 is an appropriation for the Wolf Livestock Conflict Prevention Program, and it is $90,000 one time in FY24-25. Flipping the page to page 2 is the promotion and marketing component of MDA. Line 31 is the grants to farmers market hubs. The language agreed to will restructure it to refer to EBT and SNAP, and that is $200,000 in FY24-25. Line 32 is the international trade support of $150,000 each fiscal year for that purpose. Line 33 is the farm safety and wellness appropriation of $100,000 in 24 and 25, but only occurring one time, so there are no tails to that component. Line 34 is the cooperative grants, and a note here, the tails for which will occur in a different section, but line 34, so a $400,000 establishment of for cooperative grants, and the tails for that purpose will occur within the agri appropriation. So there'll be tails within a carve out of agri of $400,000 for the biennium. Moving down to the agri and agri portion of the agreement, line 37 is the agri sunset extension. For that purpose, $24 million, and then several things will be added to that purpose to bring it to the total appropriation for agri. So, $24 million in the tails for that purpose, and then some other items occurring in 24-25. Line 39, this is an increase to the already existing livestock and meat processing grants occurring within agri, so $2 million in FY24-25 biennium. Line 40, this is an increase to the already occurring rider for biofuels infrastructure of $750,000 for the biennium. These are all one-time increases, this item and the previous item. And then line 42 is a reduction to the agri bio incentive payments. It occurs in the tails only and would bring the rider to $3 million each fiscal year in 26 and 27. Line 44 is agri, urban, and youth agriculture. This removes the up to language currently within law and designates urban youth agriculture, good food access, and farm to school as designated appropriations within agri. That purpose being line 44, $4 million, and then in the tails, $4 million. Line 46 is the agri good food access program. That is a $2 million appropriation in 24-25, and then $2 million as well in the tails. Line 48 is the agri farm to school program. $2.3 million in FY24-25 and a slightly larger amount of $2,588,000 in the tails. So those last three programs I just listed off are amounts that will be added to the agri appropriation of the $24 million on line 37. Line 51 is an appropriation for the agri and dairy with a Y program that members may be familiar with. That's $4 million only occurring in FY24 carried within the agri appropriation. And then several agreed items that were agreed to. Line 57 is an increase to the already existing rider for male C farm business management scholarships for agreed, which is $500,000 in FY24-25 and $500,000 in the tails. Then flipping over to page number 3 on line 58, this is the new home for Forever Green, having been removed from Protection Services and now is appropriated to AGREET. So you recall that it was a negative $630,000. Now that negative, that positive 630 is added to AGREET and then increased to $802,000 per year. Line 60 is the AGREET Deep Winter Greenhouse Program. So $350,000 each fiscal year, but one time. And then line 61, this is an appropriation for that changes the AGREET cultivated wild rice breeding rider already within the AGREET, AGREET appropriation. It leaves FY24 as is. There will be no change to that appropriation, but it reduces that rider, not the actual cash to AGREET, but the actual rider for that purpose of $450,000 a year. And then, Chair and members, I would turn it over to Mr. Olofsson to cover admin financial assistance and the remainder of the agencies within the spreadsheet.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Eric Olofsson, Senate Fiscal Analyst for the Agriculture Committee. On line 64, for the RFA capacity increase, it's $300,000 of increased funding in the 24-25 biennium and $300,000 in the tails. On line 65, oh, and this is all within the administration and financial assistance divisions of MDA. On line 65, for IT modernization, it's $1 million one-time spending of additional one-time spending in the 24-25 biennium. On line 66, for the Emerging Farmers Office expansion, it's $1.2 million in the 24-25 biennium and $1.7 million in the tails. Moving on down to line 68, for the transfer to the Ag Emergency Account, it's $1 million one-time in fiscal year 24. On line 69, for the Second Harvest Heartland milk allocation, it's additional one-time spending of $500,000 in the 24-25 biennium. On line 71, for the Climate Implementation Coordinator, it's $300,000, but beginning in fiscal year 26 in the tails, so $300,000 total in the 26-27 biennium. On line 73, for the Good Acre Leaf Program, it's $600,000 one-time spending in the 24-25 biennium. On line 74, for the Center for Rural Policy and Development, it's $50,000 of one-time spending in the 24-25 biennium. On line 75, for the Northern Crop Institute, it's $120,000 one-time spending in the 24-25 biennium. On line 76, for Greater Mankato Growth Green Seam, it's $200,000 of additional of one-time spending in the 24-25 biennium. On line 77, for Minnesota Turf Seed Council, it's $150,000 over the 24-25 biennium of one-time spending. On line 78, for the Minnesota Poultry Association, it's $2,000 one-time just in fiscal year 2024. On line 79, for the Minnesota Livestock Breeders Association, it's $36,000 one-time spending in the 24-25 biennium. On line 80, for the Minnesota Horticulture Society, it's $68,000 one-time for the 24-25 biennium. Moving on down to line 82, for the Heritage Oilseed Research, it's $600,000 one-time in the 24-25 biennium. On line 84, for meat processing hiring incentives, it's $544,000 one-time spending with a little more spending being allocated in fiscal year 2025. Moving to page 4. For the Minnesota Agriculture Education Leadership Council, or MALC, it's $200,000 of additional spending one time in the 24-25 biennium above base. On line 87, for Community Development Financial Institution TA grants, or CDFI technical assistance grants, it's $275,000 of one-time spending in fiscal year 24. On line 88, it's the repeal of the Oriented Strand Board statutory appropriation giving a savings of $1.5 million in the 24-25 biennium and $6 million in the tails. Then on line 89 for the Farm Down Payment Assistance Grants, it's $500,000 of additional spending in the 24-25 biennium and additional $500,000 above base in the 26-27 biennium. And that concludes MDA. Moving on to the Board of Animal Health. Looking at line 94, to maintain current service levels, it's $480,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and then $640,000 in the tails. Moving to AURI, to maintain current service levels or the cost of living adjustment, it's $200,000 in the 24-25 biennium and identical $200,000 of additional spending in the tails. On line 100 for capital equipment, it's $1.5 million one-time spending in just fiscal year 24. And then on line 101, you can see the $500,000 now in brackets. So up to $500,000 of that $1.5 million in the line above can be used for renewable natural gas and digestion projects. Moving to line 104, we're now looking at the deed office of broadband. The conference committee took the House position or the House language of appropriating $100 million to the border-to-border broadband grants, but on line 105, $40 million of that is allocated to be used for the low-density program. And then on line 109 for the general fund revenue changes, you can see the corresponding change to revenue that Mr. Savory mentioned on line 9 for the food licensing modernization. So a decrease of $7,654,000 each biennium for moving that to a different account within the agriculture fund. So again, this jurisdiction was given a target of $148 million in the 24-25 biennium and $40 million in the 26-27 biennium. And then on line 110, you can see that this conference committee, spreadsheet meets that those targets. And then I would just, on page 5, I would also just like to briefly mention the non-general fund change items. On line 116, you can see the federal match for the meat processing liaison of $150,000 each biennium. On line 117 for the food licensing modernization, you can see the spending coming from the agriculture account for these purposes now of $5,023,000 in the 24-25 biennium, and then $8,850,000 in the tails. This is coming from the agriculture fund. On line 118, you can see the spending from the pollinator research account of $800,000 one time from that transfer in fiscal year 24. On line 119, for the food retail plan review fee modernization, it's new spending from the Ag Fund of $178,000 each biennium. And then on line 122, there's also spending coming from the Agriculture Fund for the information technology modernization of $1,230,000 each biennium. And before I conclude, I just want to briefly mention, describe the impacts of the grain indemnity account with the appropriations of $10 million, with the initial transfer of $10 million. Based on the fiscal note, there's still an estimated $1.5 million collection in, or $1.5 million cost to the account based off estimated elevators closing in fiscal year 25 and another closure in fiscal year 26. So there would be an estimated premium collection from the from program participants in fiscal year 27 of $7,742,000 to bring the account back up to its cap of $15 million. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric and Ken, for the walkthrough. Any questions from members? Seeing none, is there a motion to adopt the recommendation?
Madam Chair, I recommend, I move that we adopt Senate File 1955 as the conference committee agreement.
All right. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the adoption of the recommended budget items on the spreadsheet be included in the conference committee report, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, aye. Say nay. The ayes have it, and the budget items are adopted. Now we will move to the articles. Nahal Patterson staff will give us a walkthrough of each article, and I believe we'll start with you, Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, following past procedure and precedent in the Agriculture Conference Committees, we'll work now from the side-by-sides, and I will identify those sections or groups of sections that I understand the chairs intend to offer to the Conference Committee for adoption. And if you'll allow, Madam Chair, it works pretty well to move each item or set of items together and vote on them separately or one at a time. And I'd ask my colleague, Ms. Painter, to jump in as I go if I miss anything or there's anything that she would like to add for the conferees. So we'll start on the side-by-side, the revisor side-by-side document for agriculture budget dash Article 2. These are statutory provisions that coincide with the appropriations, the riders that the committee just adopted as part of the spreadsheet or our other related sections that the chairs intend to offer for adoption today. So the first section is on page R1. The top, the right-hand side is the House language. The left is the Senate. It's House Section 1, authorizing the Department of Agriculture to collect a license and permit surcharge. Again, that's Section 1, lines 34.17 to 34.30.
Mr. Sullivan, which are you working off the agriculture budget Article 1 or?
Oh, Madam Chair, that's a good clarifying question. So I'm on the Article 2 statutory changes and policy language. The Article 1 language will be developed for the conference committee report by a reviser in conjunction with House and Senate nonpartisan staff, and that language will align with the spreadsheet that you all just adopted. So if you'll allow, we could skip to the Article 2 language now.
All right. Okay. I got the right document in front of me. So I see, so as recommended by nonpartisan staff, we'll move the adoption by section. So I believe the first section is the surcharges.
That's correct.
Can you number the sections again?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's House Section 1 on the right-hand side of page R1 at the top.
All right. Chair Putnam, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move adoption of Section 1.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Hearing none, the Section 1, as noted by nonpartisan staff, is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, then the next sections that I understand the chairs wish to offer for adoption are related to the Emerging Farmer Working Group and the Emerging Farmer Office. These were described in more detail during the walkthrough. And they're House Sections 2 and 3 on page R1, as well as on page R2 at the top right-hand side, Sections 4 and 5.
Okay. I will just go ahead and move that section as noted by nonpartisan staff. All those in favor of that motion to adopt, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The sections noted by Mr. Sullivan are adopted.
Madam Chair, then the next sections on the bottom of R2, these are identical between the House and the Senate. So my suggestion, having just adopted several House provisions, is that the conferees consider adoption of Senate Section 1, which is on the left-hand side of R2 and the top of page R3.
All right. Chair Putnam, would you make the motion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the adoption say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed say no. The section recommended by nonpartisan staff is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, the next section is on page R3 on the right-hand or House side, changes to the Sustainable Agriculture Demonstration Grant Program, House Section 7.
Okay. I will move to adopt section 7. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. Hearing none. Oh, sorry. The section, as noted by Mr. Sullivan, are adopted.
Madam Chair, then next on page R4, on the left-hand side, Senate section 2, and the right-hand side, House section 8, both pertain to the down payment assistance grant program. I understand the chairs intend to offer an amendment to the Senate language, Senate section 2. That's the A36 amendment. And if I might, I defer to Ms. Painter to briefly describe the A36 amendment.
Madam Chair and members, the difference here is that on the Senate side, page 36, line 16, the amount of the match has been changed from $5,000 to $8,000. Additionally, on the next line, the language that you see underlined is deleted, and instead the language would read, grants under the subdivision may be awarded by randomized selection process after applications are collected over a period of no less than 30 calendar days.
All right. I believe we'll move to adopt the 836 first, right? And then we'll adopt this section. Okay. Chair Putnam, would you move to adopt the 836?
Madam Chair, so moved.
All those in favor of the adoption say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The 836 is adopted.
Then, Madam Chair, to adopt both the House and Senate sections, then the motion would be to adopt Senate Section 2 as amended and House Section 8 on page R4.
All right. I will move to adopt those two sections recommended by nonpartisan staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed say no. The sections are adopted.
Madam Chair and members, then the next section is on the bottom of page R4, the Soil Health Financial Assistance Program. I understand the chairs intend to offer the Senate language, Senate Section 3, which begins on the bottom of R4 and continues about halfway down page R5, plus the A17 amendment. And the A17 amendment would require the Department of Agriculture to give preference in awarding these grants to landowners and lessees who have not previously implemented an eligible soil health project on their land.
Okay.
And I think, Madam Chair, looking to Ms. Painter, I believe our understanding was that Senate Subdivision 5 administrative costs would be deleted as well, or not included in the conference committee report. I think that's what
the Madam Chair and members, that would go into the rider language in Article 1, not in the statutory section.
Right. So Madam Chair, the A17 then really should delete Senate lines 37.18 and 37.19. I guess you could make that as a separate motion, or Ms. Painter and I could just note that that's the committee's intent and prepare the conference committee report accordingly.
Yes, that will be the committee's intent. And so I guess the first procedure move will be to adopt the A17, I believe. Okay. I move to adopt the A17. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The A17 is adopted.
Then, Madam Chair, to adopt the language as amended would be Senate Section 3 as amended.
Senate Section 3 as amended. Chair Putnam, would you like to move the adoption of Section 3 as amended by nonpartisan staff?
Madam Chair, so moved.
All those in favor of the adoption say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the sections recommended by nonpartisan staff are adopted.
Madam Chair and members, then the next sections are three related House sections that modify the existing bee owner compensation program administered by the Department of Agriculture. Those are House Sections 10 and 11 on the bottom of R5, and House Section 19, which starts on page R8. And it's a long one. It continues through all of R9 and half of page R10. So again, that's House Sections 10, 11, and 19.
Okay. I move to adopt section recommended by nonpartisan staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion to adopt is prevails as recommended by nonpartisan staff.
The next, Madam Chair and members, on page R7 on the House side, House Section 16, modifications to and extension of the pollinator research account.
Sorry, can you restate that again?
And Madam Chair, it's on page R7 of the side-by-side, House Section 16.
I move to adopt House Section 16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. House Section 16 is adopted.
Madam Chair, then the next item is on page R10. This is House language. It's an amendment that will replace House Section 21 regarding pesticide products containing PFAS. The amendment deletes section House Section 21 and inserts new language, and that's the A26 amendment that I could describe briefly if you'd like, Madam Chair.
Please proceed.
Madam Chair, the A26 amendment, just finding it in my pile here. Don't see it, but I remember what it does. Oh, yeah, and I do have a separate copy. It does several things. There's quite a bit of language. It establishes or affirms the Department of Agriculture's authority over pesticides and fertilizers that contain PFAS. As of January 1st, 2026, this language would prohibit the Department of Agriculture from approving pesticide cleaning products that contain intentionally added PFAS, unless the department determines that the PFAS use is unavoidable, as defined on page 1 for pesticides and on page 4 for fertilizers. It would also, as of January 1st of 2032, it would prohibit the department from approving any fertilizers or pesticides of any kind that contain intentionally added PFAS unless, again, the department determines that that use of PFAS is at that time unavoidable. It would also require companies that provide information about the PFAS in their products to the Department of Agriculture. It would say that they are not required to provide that same information to another state agency so long as the Department of Agriculture makes that information available to other agencies in a different format. And then there's a study or report required at the last section of the A26 requiring the Department of Agriculture to examine the use, benefits, and risks of PFAS and pesticides in Minnesota and to report back to the legislature.
Right. Discussion to the A26. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a fairly substantial amendment. It's 7 pages long. The timestamp on it is at 12:14 this afternoon. It appears to me that this is much more substantive than to be taken up as an amendment on the Ag Conference bill. And again, we're getting into cleaning supplies and putting bans on PFAS with a dated time of 2026 or 2032. So, Madam Speaker, I would speak out against adopting this amendment.
All right. Any further discussion? Representative Anderson, thank you for your remarks. You know, PFAS has been a hot button issue in session this year, and we've worked really hard to make sure that we are able to meet the needs of all the stakeholder groups. And so, you know, I will motion to still adopt the A26 amendment. All those in favor of the A26 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails. The A26 is adopted.
Madam Chair, the next item for adoption is also found on page R10. It starts on the bottom of that page, House Section 22. This is the increase to the fertilizer fee, but rather than adoption of House Section 22, I understand the intent is to adopt the A18 amendment, which deletes House Section 22 and inserts language that would instead grant the Department of Agriculture, the commissioner in particular, the authority to set the fertilizer inspection fee within a range of 39 to 70 cents per ton, requiring the commissioner to hold a public meeting if the increase that is proposed would be more than 5 cents per ton.
All right. To the A18. Any questions to adopt? Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
We have Representative Anderson.
Again, Madam Chair, and again, there seems to be kind of a penchant this session to grant legislative authority to departments and commissioners. This is going down the wrong alley. We strongly reject this amendment, and by giving the commissioner carte blanche authority to raise the fee up to 70 cents a ton from its current 37 cents, and again, would be against this amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Further discussion to the 826? Chair Putnam?
Madam Chair, if I may, in response to Representative Anderson's well-taken point, there is precedent in other areas for this kind of authority to be rested with the commissioner. Apparently, he has the capacity to adjust the potato tax as much as he wants up or down. So there's precedent for this type of decision. And I think it's actually incredibly appropriate, given how dynamic fertilizer fees are right now, to give the commissioner, who can be much more dynamic and engaged in how these prices fluctuate, the ability to both raise and lower that tax, given the circumstances. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. All those in Representative Anderson.
Well, again, thank you, Madam Chair, but this fee is not dependent on the price of fertilizer. That is a totally separate issue. This fee is based on collecting enough revenue for the department to do its job of inspecting fertilizer operations. Again, it has nothing to do with the price of fertilizer. And again, farmers take a lot of notice of this fee. And again, in light of our $17 billion surplus, there is a negative feeling toward raising fees. And this one, every farmer sees this when they buy fertilizer for their operations in the spring and in the fall. So again, I would speak against adoption of this amendment.
All right. Chair Putnam moves to adopt the A18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The A18 amendment is adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and members, then next on page R11, starting about halfway down on the House side with House Section 23, and continuing for many pages, it's a package of sections that were recommended by the Department of Agriculture. It's a reform of live plant dealer and nursery certificate laws. The House Sections 23 through 31, which can be found on R11 through R17. And I understand the chairs would like to offer or include with this package the A16 amendment, which specifies that these sections would not take effect until January 1st of 2025.
The A16. Discussion to the A16. Seeing none of those, I move to adopt the A16.
Madam Chair, members,
Laura,
A16 has a completely, I don't think this is the correct language. Sorry, this is effective date for Section 61.
Did I reference the wrong amendment?
I don't know what the correct number is, but I don't think this is the correct language.
Madam Chair and members, I'm looking at the S-1955 A-16 amendment dated May 5th, 23 at 3:53 p.m. And what this language does is it says that on the House side, starting on page R-40, it's a change to the inserting an effective date at the end, and it applies to the sections I've just described as part of this package. Sections 23 to 31 on the House side, as well as a portion of the repealer in Section 60, which is also a part of this package. They'd all be effective January 1st of 2025.
Okay.
That makes more sense. Thank you.
So are we good to still move procedurally the A16? Okay. So I move to adopt the A16. Any discussion? Hearing none, on those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The A16 is adopted.
Madam Chair, with that adopted, I think the motion would be to adopt House Sections 23 to 31, found on pages R11 through R17.
Okay.
As amended.
Okay. I move to adopt Section 23 through 31 as amended and recommended by nonpartisan staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and these sections are adopted.
Madam Chair, next it's a series of three House sections that pertain to the industrial hemp licensing program by the Department of Agriculture. They begin on page R17. About halfway down, House Section 32, and R18, House Sections 33 and 34.
Okay. Chair Putnam, do you want to move to adopt the sections recommended by nonpartisan staff?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the sections recommended by nonpartisan staff are adopted.
Madam Chair, next on page R18, again on the House or right-hand side, Section 36, amount of fee. This was language recommended by the department pertaining to commercial feed licensing. And again, that's House Section 36.
Okay.
Madam Chair, did we skip Section 35?
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, we did skip Section 35. My understanding is the chairs do not intend to make the hemp fiber processing a statutory program, and that's what this section will do.
All right. So then I move to adopt Section 36 as recommended by nonpartisan staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Section 36 are adopted.
Madam Chair, then next at the bottom of page R19, Mr. Savory and Mr. Olofsson mentioned the dedication of food handler and vending license fees as part of the spreadsheet that was adopted by the committee. This is the language that makes that happen in statute. It's on the bottom of R19, House Section 37, and then on page R20, the next page, House Section 39, which is closer to the bottom of that page on R20.
Okay. I move to adopt the sections recommended by nonpartisan staff. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion to adopt say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections recommended by staff are adopted.
Next, Madam Chair, members, on the top of page R20 on the House or right-hand side, Section 38. These are modifications to the food handler facility floor plan fees.
Sorry, Mr. Sullivan, can you repeat that again?
Yeah, Madam Chair, it's on page R20 at the top on the right-hand side, House Section 38.
Okay. I move to adopt Section 38, recommended by staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Section 38 is adopted.
Next, Madam Chair, my understanding is the chairs intend to adopt language relating to cottage foods, which is Senate Section 4 on the left-hand bottom portion of R20. But I understand the intent is to adopt, in place of this language, the A37 amendment, and I would defer to Ms. Painter, if you'll allow, Madam Chair, to describe that amendment.
Ms. Painter?
So, Madam Chair, this amendment would apply the ability to deliver by mail or commercial delivery only to pet treats. So it would amend Section 25.391, Subdivision 2, which relates to direct sales to consumers. The whole subdivision would read, an individual qualifying for the exemption under Subdivision 1 may sell the exempt pet treats to consumers in accordance with Section 28A.152, except that pet treats may also be delivered by mail or commercial delivery.
Okay. Chair Putnam, do you want to move the A37?
Madam Chair, so moved.
All right. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the adoption of A37, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The 837 is adopted.
Madam Chair, next on page R21, on the right-hand side, House Section 40, it's pertaining to the Board of Animal Health. I believe the intent is, in place of this language, to adopt the A21 amendment. And the A21 amendment that members should have in their packets would add one new member to the Board of Animal Health, moving from 6 to 7. It would modify current requirements for board members by providing that currently there are 4 livestock producers who must be appointed, one of whom is also a member of a federally recognized tribe located in Minnesota. This language lifts that livestock producer qualification for the member of a federally recognized tribe, and but requires the person to be experienced in animal husbandry as well. And then increases from 2 to 3 the number of licensed and practicing veterinarians, and specifies that one of the 3 must specialize in companion animals. And then, as the governor appoints members to the Board of Animal Health, the on lines 110 and 111, this would require the governor, to the extent practicable, to strive for gender and geographic balance.
All right. Discussion to the 821. Seeing none, all those in favor to, or I move to adopt the 821, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The 821 is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, next on page R22, top of that page on the right-hand side is House Section 41. This is a technical provision that corresponds to an item that members may adopt later as part of the repealer. The repealer would get rid of a statutory appropriation to the Department of Agriculture of federal chronic wasting disease dollars. Section 41 just makes a conforming change in statute.
Discussion. I move to adopt Section 41. And do I need to adopt Section 42 as
well? No, Madam
okay.
Chair.
So Section 41. All those in favor to adopt Section 41 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the Section 41 is adopted.
Then on the bottom of page R22, Senate language, Senate Section 5, this section would add an additional member to the AGREET advisory panel, and that would be a person who represents the interest of Minnesota tribal governments, and the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council at their discretion could determine who is appointed into that position.
Chair Putnam, do I have a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the adoption recommended by staff, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections recommended by staff is adopted.
Madam Chair, then moving forward several pages to the next section that I understand the chairs intend to offer for adoption. It's on the bottom of page R27. It's Senate Section 6 on the left-hand side. The chair's intent, as discussed during the spreadsheet walkthrough, is to repeal funding for and the statutory language around the oriented strand board production incentive. Senate Section 6 makes a corresponding change to the statute.
Okay, Chair Putnam.
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor to adopt Section 6 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and Section 6 is adopted.
Madam Chair, then next on page R28, starting on the left-hand side, Senate Section 7, failure. It's a series of sections that would adopt the language required for the department to implement the grain indemnity program. That's Senate Sections 7, not 8, importantly, skipping over 8, Senate Sections then 9 through 18, as amended by the A40 amendment, which, if you'll allow, Madam Chair, I defer to Ms. Painter on that.
Ms. Painter?
Madam Chair and members, the amendment changes language on page R34 relating to the floor of the grain indemnity account. It has been lowered from $9 million to $8 million. And additionally, that would be on lines, page 45 on the Senate side, lines 19 and also 17. In addition, beginning at the end of line 19, there would be a sentence inserted that reads, if the account contains at least $8 million, the commissioner may, after holding a public meeting, suspend premium payments for all producers in the event of economic hardship. The other change to the grain indemnity provisions relate to the grain indemnity opt-out, which is on the same page, and more specifically paragraph B. Starting on line 45.31, we delete the requirements to produce a poster and to for the department to print materials and to make everything online. So the new sentence would read, the commissioner must prepare a flyer and online materials The commissioner must prepare a flyer explaining how a producer can opt out of the grain indemnity program and must post these documents on the Department of Agriculture website. The commissioner must provide, licensed businesses must make the flyers available for anyone visiting the licensed business. The other additional change, as can be found on page R35, on page, page 47 on the Senate side, delete lines 1 and 2 and insert language saying that occurs at least 120 days after reentry. So that would require that those who reenter the program have to wait 120 days before collecting any payments.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Painter. Discussion to the A40. Representative Anderson.
Madam Speaker, and Madam Chair, thank you. I believe I have the A24. It would be an amendment to the amendment of the A40. That would then be correct. Could we have staff clarify that?
I believe that's correct. The A24. All right.
Madam Chair, there is an amendment to the amendment. I don't believe it's the A24. I'm looking quickly to see which amendment that is. It's the A23 amendment is an amendment that would amend.
I believe it is the A24. It's on the correct page. It would change the language saying the commissioner may not require the collection of premiums to say the commissioner must not require collection of premium, additional premiums.
So the A24 is an amendment to
Madam
the...
Chair and members...
Mr. Sullivan?
The A24 is an amendment to the Senate language as opposed to an amendment to the A40 amendment.
Okay. That is fine. Representative Anderson...
Mr. Nicely... recognize that the A23, which I don't have before me, but that's, yes, I believe this is the amendment that Representative Anderson is referring to. It amends the...
Mr. Sullivan, the A23 is amending the A18 amendment.
Right.
A18.
Then...
Representative Anderson?
Here. Yeah, I think that's correct. The A23, I think we've already gone past that one. I was waiting for that one, and this was the fertilizer fee. We've kind of gone past that, but to make this A24 fit, it would be amended onto the A40 amendment, would be my understanding, but that's up to staff to determine that.
Okay, so I believe your intention was to amend the A40 with the A23?
The A24, Madam Chair.
The A24 to the A40 amendment. Okay.
So, Madam Chair, that could be achieved by inserting this language on 1.3 of the A24 after line 1.2 on the A40.
Okay. So since nonpartisan staff, that can be done to... be to change the A24 as an amendment to the A40, right? So we can bring the A24 for discussion to your A24, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. All this does, it just changes one word from may to must. If we're talking about when the fund is above the floor of now $8 million, the commissioner must stop collecting payments. Instead of saying he may stop, this just gives farmers some comfort language to say it will stop if the fee, if the floor of the amount is above $8 million. That's all this amendment does. Change is made a must.
All right. Okay. So just to make sure that I'm clear with the procedures here, with Ms. Painter or Mr. Sullivan, be clear with the procedure what we're doing with the A24.
Madam Chair, I think you need to decide whether the committee wants to adopt the A24 amendment to the A40 amendment.
Okay. So since Representative Anderson, you just made your remarks on the A24, any further discussion? I believe I will ask the Commissioner of Ag to talk about the A24, I believe, since this has to do with the Commissioner's ability to... click on the fees on the grain indemnity fund. Commissioner Vauble.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Andrea Vauble. I serve as Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. If we're reading this correctly, as long as it ensures we are okay with leaving it or changing it to must, if that is the preference of the chairs in the conference committee, if what we understand is true, this prevents the commissioner from collecting premiums if the floor of the $8 million is in the account. If that is the case and we're understanding that correctly, then we are okay with the must versus may.
Representative Anderson.
I would agree with that, Madam Chair. Thanks, Commissioner Vauble. It just says that if the amount is over $8 million, we do not collect the fee from farmers selling grain.
All right. Further discussion? Okay. I will move to adopt the A24 as an amendment to the A40. All those in favor say, just make sure, if we do adopt the A24 to the A40, it doesn't take away this A40 language.
Madam Chair, that's correct. Yeah, the A24 does not modify the language in the A40. It would supplement that language.
Okay, sounds good. So a motion to adopt the A24 to the A40, say, Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair, after conferring with other staff a bit, we don't believe there is an amendment drafted to the A40.
Okay.
I believe the A24 is separate and could be voted on after the A40. It's not required that you adopt or act on the 24 right now.
All right. Okay. So thank you for that clarification, Mr. Sullivan. So, Representative Anderson, since we can adopt it separately, we'll look at the A40 amendment first, and then we'll move to adopt the A24. Representative Anderson?
That's fine, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right. To the A40, discussion to the A40. Chair Putnam, do you have a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. All those in favor to adopt the A40 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The A40 is adopted. Now to the A24. Discussion, since that's already had, Representative Anderson moves to adopt the A24. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The A24 is adopted. All right. The next amendment or the next section?
Madam Chair, if there are no further amendments to the grain indemnity language that members would like to offer, I believe the motion would be to adopt Senate sections 9 through 18. Excuse me, 9. 7, 9 through 18 as amended.
All right. Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion recommended by staff say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The amendment, the sections are adopted. Representative Anderson, I see your hand is up. Oh, you are muted, Representative Anderson.
Madam Chair, sorry for the confusion again, but I do have another amendment pertaining to the indemnity fund. Is it still aligned to have that offered separately?
Are you talking about the 823?
The 825.
Oh, 825. Non-person staff, we can still look have discussion on the 825. Okay. All right. Representative Anderson moves to adopt the 825 discussion. Representative Anderson.
Again, Madam Chair, again, quickly, this would increase the amount of coverage for farmers in a late contract sale, for example, for give them full indemnity of certain deferred, delayed payment contracts. Just to give you some idea of context of $200,000, that would be today's prices of $15 a bushel soybeans, $7 a bushel corn. We'd be talking about 10 loads of soybeans, 10 semi-loads of soybeans, and 7 loads of corn. And if we were to change that to organic crops, which a lot of farmers are producing and seeking protection, like some of the Iowa situation, you'd be talking as few as 5 loads of soybeans and 3 loads of corn. So I had the amendment in the House committee to increase that $200,000 to $300,000 of coverage to give a little bit more certainty for a little bit higher level of coverage in this indemnity fund, which I think would again give comfort language to farmers when they're hauling in some of these very expensive crops, especially organic crops that would be hauled into market. So I would move, Madam Chair, the 825 amendment.
All right. Discussion to the 825? All right. Representative Anderson, you know, on the House side, we did adopt this on the House language, and on the Senate side is the $200,000. You know, I think, you know, we're both amenable to this, and so I recommend members to adopt the 825. So with that, Representative Anderson moves to adopt the 825. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The 825 is adopted. All right, Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair, I believe that is the last of the amendments pertaining to the grain indemnity program. So then moving to the next item for adoption, it's on page R38. On the left-hand or Senate side, Senate Section 21 provides a framework for the department's awarding of the Wolf Livestock Conflict Prevention Grants that were funded as part of the spreadsheet adoption. Ms. Painter and I believe the chairs intend to adopt this provision, but we weren't entirely certain.
Yes, Ms. Painter? Oh. I believe we, Chair Putnam, do you have some remarks too on this area?
So, Madam Chair and Senator Putnam, this could either go in Article 2 as its own section, or it could be adopted as a rider in the Article 1. I don't know that we made a decision on that aspect of it, so it's really up to your preference.
Madam Chair, if I may, Ms. Painter, could you explain the relevance or impact of either of those two decisions? Sorry.
It's just about your preference. I don't know that it. I don't know if Mr. Sullivan has any thoughts about that.
I'm just
that
guessing. Doesn't matter. That's all.
It really doesn't.
Okay. Well, then I think we could just adopt what the language has here. Then. Yeah. All right. Chair Putnam moves to adopt the Section 21 recommended by nonpartisan staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the Section 21 is adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, then we're on the final page of this side-by-side, the page R39. On the right-hand side, House Section 59 requires the Department of Agriculture to convene the Grain Advisory Group and report back recommendations by February 1st of next year. There's an A14 amendment in the packet that would require, in addition to recommendations on bonding requirements, it would also request recommendations on financial statement requirements for licensed grain buyers.
All right. Discussion. I move to adopt the A14. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A14 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The A14 is adopted. Into the section, I believe, right? Any discussion to adopt section 59? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Section 59 is adopted.
Madam Chair, next in order, it's not on the side-by-side, but the amendment would slot the language in this portion of the side-by-side. It's the A38 amendment requiring a wild rice research report, and I defer to Ms. Painter, if I may, to describe that.
Ms. Painter?
Madam Chair and members, this is related to the wild rice appropriation within AgREIT. And it's requiring the Commissioner of Agriculture to convene a group of stakeholders to discuss this issue in more detail, including representatives from Minnesota tribal governments, cultivated wild rice producers, CFANs, and the University of Minnesota to make recommendations about the future of the wild rice breeding program. And the Commissioner must submit a report on recommendations to the Agriculture Committee chairs and minority members by January 15th, 2024.
All right, thank you, Ms. Painter. Discussion to the A38. You know, I just want to say that in this area has been a pretty, we've been pretty, the chairs and I have been pretty invested on resolving the issue on the wild rice research. And we both are committed to continue to resolve that. I know that may not be the perfect solution to some of the stakeholders who are interested in this funding, but the chairs and I are committed to continuing that work to see what we can do to find a resolution and work with the tribal relations, and the Commissioner of Ag is also committed to that as well. And Chair Putnam?
Thank you, Chair Vang. I want to second Chair Vang's statements about this. This is an incredibly complicated issue, not just only as an issue in and of itself, but it's one that's wrapped in a history of relationships and concerns for trust and collaboration. I believe, I'm not speaking for Chair Vang, but I believe our perspective is that folks have got to collaborate with each other and figure this out. And we did our best, I think, in this bill and in this language to respect the needs and interests of everyone who's involved in this issue, but also to goad towards greater collaboration. Sometimes people need to be inspired to work together, and I think that what we've done in this process and in this bill is designed to encourage greater collaboration in the future moving forward.
All right, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, now I'm talking about the actual funding in the bill. It had originally, for years, gone to the cultivated wild rice folks, and it looks like in a spreadsheet that funding has been changed. Could you again clarify what's happened to the funding in this new bill and how it's going to be divided up?
Representative Anderson, I'll defer that to Mr. Savory.
Chair and members, the funding on line 61 of the spreadsheet, to your question, Representative Anderson, currently there's $450,000 in the base in the AgREIT program for a rider specifying cultivated wild rice breeding. And the first year of that appropriation, the $450,000 in FY24 will remain. The subsequent years following FY25, FY26, and FY27 will be deleted. The funding itself will roll up to the top total of the AgREIT program, being allowed to be decided upon by the AgREIT board as per their statutory authority.
Representative Anderson, and our intent as chairs is that we keep the first year of the funding the same as is. And with this amendment, the 838, we hope to hear back from the tribal leaders and stakeholders about what to do with the next years of the base funding of $450,000. It is still there in the REIT. It's just that we want to encourage stakeholders to work together. And I believe, you know, since this is something in relation to the tribal governments and the chairs feel like we may not know enough to decide how to use that pot of money. And so we will, we ask the tribal governments to work together on how to bring a resolution to that. And in terms of wild rice research. And I guess Chair Putnam, if you have any follow-up to that.
Thank you, Chair Vang, and thank you, Representative Anderson, for the question. That's the gist of it, is that in the initial Senate position, we came up with language that we thought that was general enough that it could include research into cultivated wild rice, but did not do so explicitly. But in further conversations, we realized that, you know, this is an important program that has been going for a while, and that we wanted to make sure that people got around the table together. So the simplest way to think about this, Representative Anderson, is we're giving them kind of a one-year pass, and then at the end of that year, figure your stuff out, and then the resources will come back. But the goal is we want people to work together, we are in our position, not really in a place to mandate that so much, but we can inspire it, hopefully, and that is the theory behind the decisions that we made.
Further discussion? Representative Purcell.
Thank you. And I just want to, we're talking about this as a food source, but it's also a sacred part of spirituality for some of our native neighbors. So I just don't want that to be lost in talking about purely like cultivation and production of this food.
Thank you, Representative Purcell. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor to adopt the A38, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The A38 is adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, then finally, the repealers on the bottom of page R39. My understanding is the intent is to offer for adoption Senate repealer section 22 along with portions of House section 60 repealer, only subdivisions 3. Regarding plants, nurseries, and hemp that relate to provisions adopted earlier as part of that package. And on page R40, the top of that page, the repealer I mentioned earlier, the Department of Agriculture's statutory appropriation of chronic waste and disease dollars.
All right. Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All right. All those in favor to adopt the sections recommended by staff, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The section recommended by staff are adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, moving next then to broadband. This is a very short side-by-side. It's titled Agriculture Budget-Article 3 Broadband. It's two pieces of paper. It's the appropriations that go along with the spreadsheet of appropriations described earlier and adopted by the committee, as well as some modifications to the broadband, border-to-border broadband program and codification of the lower population density grant program. My understanding is the chairs intend to offer for adoption the House language, which is on page R1, sections 1 and 2, on page R2, sections 3, 4, and 5, and R3, section 6 on the right-hand or House side.
All right. I move to adopt the sections recommended by Mr. Sullivan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections are adopted, recommended by nonpartisan staff. Mr. Sullivan?
Finally, Madam Chair, the last side-by-side, it's titled Agriculture Policy at the top. These are non-fiscal agriculture statutory provisions from House File 1587. On page R1, the Senate and House language is identical, the restricted species language. So having just adopted several House sections, I would suggest adoption of Senate Section 1 on the right-hand side of R1.
I'll just give us a moment while we find the documents.
Madam Chair,
Could Mr. Sullivan repeat what documents we're looking for?
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and Representative Purcell, staff are checking to see if you have this one in your folders or not. It's the agriculture policy is the title at the top. It's a bigger side-by-side. It's 36 pages long and dated April 28th at 5:53 p.m. If you don't have it, you might need to recess and get copies of that one.
Members, you may not have it on your packets, but they are posted on the website, and so you can follow along through that. And we will just proceed. And so, Mr. Sullivan, if you can start with the first section.
Madam Chair, both the House and the Senate passed identical language requested by the department regarding its regulation of Eurasian wild pigs and their hybrids. The sections are exactly the same between the House and the Senate, so if you'd like to move Senate Section 1 on page R1 of the agriculture policy side by side, that would adopt this language.
Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the adoption recommended by staff say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motions prevail. The section recommended by staff are adopted.
Madam Chair, on page R2, of the policy side by side, both the House and the Senate passed language that restricts carbon capture contracts, the content of those contracts entered into between a farmer and someone else, a third party. The language is the same except the Senate has an effective date of July 1, 2023, which is appropriate given other language in this section. So, Madam Chair, staff recommendation would be to adopt on page R2. Senate Section 2 regarding agricultural contracts.
Okay. Discussion? Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion to adopt sections recommended by staff are adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, next we have another set of sections that are the same between the House and the Senate, save the effective date, which is really the same in both the House and the Senate. It's just expressed explicitly on the Senate side. That's at the bottom of page R2. This is a request from the Department of Agriculture, part of several sections, the rest that come later in the side-by-side, that modify the department's regulatory authority regarding the dairy industry. You could adopt House language on the bottom of R2. That's House Section 3.
All right. I move to adopt the section recommended by staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The section recommended by staff are adopted.
Next, then, Madam Chair, on R3, the House and the Senate have identical except for the effective date language regarding noxious weeds and non-native Phragmites. Because the language is the same and you just adopted a House section, you could adopt Senate Section 4, which can be found on page R3.
All right. Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The section recommended by staff are adopted.
Next, Madam Chair, starting on the bottom of page R3 on the Senate side, are two Senate-only sections pertaining to minimum risk pesticides and pesticides that would be allowed for use on medical cannabis. I believe these were recommended by the Department of Agriculture. That's the bottom of page R3, Senate Section 5, and the top of page R4, Senate Section 6.
Okay. Discussion? Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The sections are adopted as recommended by nonpartisan staff. Mr. Sullivan?
Next, Madam Chair, on the middle of page R4, on the right or Senate side, notice of appeal. I believe this was also recommended by the Department of Agriculture. It reduces from 45 to 20 days from the receipt of an order, the amount of time that a person has to contest an order from the Department of Agriculture's Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division. That's Senate Section 7, found on page R4.
All right. Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion to adopt, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections recommended by staff are adopted. Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, then next are a series of sections recommended by the department regarding its oversight of genetically engineered agricultural organisms. I understand that the Senate did a little extra work on this language, and my understanding is the department would prefer the Senate language in this area. And so that can be found on the bottom of page R4, sections, Senate sections 8 and 9, and then on page R5, Senate sections 10 and 11, and on the R6, towards the bottom, Senate section 12.
All right. Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion to adopt, recommended by nonpartisan staff, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. These sections are adopted.
The next, Madam Chair, is a very large package of sections that you could adopt all at once if you'd like. These are nursery and plant protection statutory changes recommended by the department that passed both bodies. The language is very similar, save the effective dates. There are some additional technical changes on the House side that were recommended by the reviser of statutes to minimize ambiguity and the potential for misinterpretation of this language. So staff recommendation would be to adopt the House language, which starts on page R7. It's House sections 10 through 60 and 62 through 66.
All right. I move to adopt the sections recommended by staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections are adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Next, then, Madam Chair, on page R23 on the House or left-hand side is the House's pollinator-friendly labeling modifications. Those are on, again, on page R23 on the left-hand side, House section 61, which continues through the top of page R24.
All right, discussion? Seeing none, I move to adopt the sections recommended by staff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections are adopted.
Madam Chair, then next on to page R26 on the right or Senate side. Similar to a provision you just adopted a few minutes ago, this is requested by the department decreasing the amount of time to contest an order, in this case from the department's plant protection division. That's right-hand side of R26, Senate Section 67.
Okay. Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
The motion to adopt, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The section are adopted.
Next, Madam Chair, then on the bottom of R26, the House and the Senate both passed department-requested language, again modifying the regulatory statutes for the dairy industry. These are the same between the House and the Senate, except for the effective dates. So I guess we just adopted a Senate provision. You could adopt, in this case, House Section 64 through 66, which start on the bottom of R26 and continue through the middle of page R27.
Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The sections are adopted, recommended by staff.
If the Madam Chair can skip all the way to the end of this final side-by-side to go through. That's page R36, the repealers for the policy bill this time. The repealers on the House side, section 67, correspond to the genetically engineered organism, plant protection and nursery and dairy law changes that you previously adopted. I understand the chairs, in addition, would like to move for adoption Paragraph B on the Senate side, section 85, and these would repeal current restrictions on below-cost sales of dairy products.
Discussion? Chair Putnam?
So moved, Madam Chair.
All those in favor of the motion to adopt, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. These sections are adopted. Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, with that, we've reached the end of the language.
All right. Does that mean we're done with adoption? With all the adoptions?
You sound disappointed.
All right. Well, I don't see any further amendments as well. All right. Well, I believe it almost feels kind of... Okay. Well, I guess I'll make the final motion that staff is directed to make any technical corrections as needed. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The motion prevails. Thank you, members and staff, for listening intently to this whole process of adopting committee provisions. It's a new thing for me to do it this way, but because we don't have the official, I guess, provisions yet, we have to lay it out publicly, verbally. So thank you for riding through this session with us. I just want to thank Chair Putnam for your leadership and your partnership in this. It's been incredible to work with you, and I appreciate you listening to our issues and our concerns, and for just being a great partner as us being first-time chairs. It's definitely been, I think, just a fun year for us, and I'm glad to have you as my Senate counterpart. And with that, I'll defer to you to have any closing remarks.
No, I just want to say thank you as well to Chair Vang. This is a new area for me, and being a chair is a new thing too, but it was great to learn with you. And I'm looking forward to the next 4 years of doing that together. Also, a thank you to the agricultural community who have been so generous with their wisdom. I know with this bill and with everything we do in the legislature, our job is compromise. That's the nature of our job. And when you compromise, sometimes you make people angry. And I often think that as long as we make everybody a little bit angry, we've done the right thing. But in this case, I think we've done that. But we also, I believe, earnestly in my heart, given everybody a chance to be happy too. So thanks, everybody, for your work.
Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And with that, we have concluded our conference committee business. We are adjourned.